was great. We came upon this concept that we want to do a series on this particular month called Courage. Everybody, let's say Courage. Go ahead and tell somebody next to you, nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. Hey, I want you to know something. The Bible is super relevant for today. You can look in God's Word for courage to face what's happening in these days, and it's full of people. How many of you got a Bible hero or two that you lean on and read about them and you go, if you don't have a Bible hero, how about Jesus? Is he one? Well, what we find out is we have people of faith in the Bible that have the courage to deal with internal struggles and external struggles. Go ahead and put up Luke 21, and this is just a little introduction here. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Has that been going on? And then this is what it says, next slide, that's men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. So this kind of contextualizes a lot of what's going on hurricane-wise and all kinds of ways in the ocean. I'll get to the next verse in a minute, but I'm just for setup here. This is out of the New Living Translation. Just listen. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us? If we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death, as the scripture says, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours in Christ Jesus who loved us. The King James, this next verse, the King James says it this way, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is an interesting word. It's hypo or hyper. Have you ever had any Nike tennis shoes? This is where the word conquer comes from, Nike, Nikeo. It means super Nike. It means there's a preeminent victory that Jesus has already won. You know, I want to go ahead and give you a little secret. Every religion of the world, except for the followers of Jesus, every single one has a set of rules, and you have to do those rules. And your salvation or your philosophy in life is all based on you trying to do the rules. But not Christianity, because it's about grace. That Jesus has already done the work, and our role is to study what he's already accomplished and allow that to happen in us. It's not about you trying to get at God's acceptance. It's God has already gotten at his acceptance through Christ Jesus. And you come through Christ Jesus, and you are fully accepted in the Beloved. You're redeemed through his shed blood poured out in your, nobody else has done this. It was a fellow that went through an office building. He had written down on a piece of paper, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he went down and he said, who is this talking about? And everybody said, well, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus, he's laid the iniquity of our sin on Jesus. There's not any other person in all of human history that it is declared that your sin has been laid on that person. Only Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only Savior. Every single religion is contrary and has its own uniquenesses that says this is the way. There's nothing like the only. I already gave you the bottom line. The bottom line is they're all contrary to one another, but they all have a different set of rules. But Jesus, if you have two rules that Jesus gives you, you can't even do those. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you know that you run out of gas pretty quick without the Lord's help doing that? Let's go ahead and just thank Him for His help. Thank Him for His Spirit that abides on us, that empowers us, that gives us grace to do what we can't do. Because it doesn't matter how hard you try, you'll come up short. But it's all about the grace. You get in with grace. You're established by grace. You go on with grace. It's in the grace of God, which is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives through His Word and His promises. It takes courage, though. Go ahead and elbow somebody. It takes a little courage. It takes courage to trust Jesus for eternal life and enter into a relationship with Him. It takes courage to surrender to God and connect with Him. It takes courage to claim Jesus as Lord of your life. I just saw an incredible video, CBN News, 20 people in Iran. There's a move of God in Iran. There's a TV station that shows, teaches the gospel. And because if you receive the Lord, you'll end up being fired from your job. You know, there's persecution incredible. These people had wanted to, they didn't know, have anybody else, but they found each other because of watching TV, this thing, and they ended up going outside of the country, renting a swimming pool and being baptized. They covered, they didn't say their names, they didn't say where they went, they didn't say anything like that, but they said, and the announcer finishes, it says, and so I'm reporting from somewhere in the Middle East. It takes courage to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It takes courage to turn from sin. Try to clean up your life before you come to God. That's like taking a bath in a mud puddle. We don't have the capability to scrub our insides clean. Only Jesus can cleanse us from sin. It takes courage to confess your failures and come to Jesus to be cleansed. How many of you have been? It's a vulnerable situation. It takes courage to become vulnerable to God and receive forgiveness. It takes courage to conquer an addiction. It takes courage to turn from the ways of the world. It takes courage to open your heart and receive healing for a wound that you have in your heart. It takes courage to reveal those areas of your heart. It takes courage to bring some dark failure in the light of God's love to be freed from some tormenting power. It takes courage. How many of you, just the work of the devil alone will make you feel shame, and you're afraid to open up, and the devil's, you know, just pouring shame on you, and you feel like if I tell anybody what's going on, I'm going to be shamed. How many of you, hey. Well, you're safe here. Heather and I have gone through the deep stuff, and we know what it is to taste of the rich, rich grace of God. The empowering, the ability to do things that you cannot do in your own strength. He gives you the ability to be what you couldn't be and to do what you couldn't do. You know what courage is? Courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. Courage is the strength to face pain or grief or face a difficulty or danger. And courage is a choice and a willingness to confront agony, uncertainty, and intimidation. Courage is the ability to come out of your comfort zone of your soul and rise up with moral strength to face a new venture and persevere. Courage is what we need today. How many of you need courage to conquer? Courage is not about losing heart, but it's about standing firm. Courage is about walking with Jesus in these last days with the world mocking you for what you believe in. That's courage, is walking it anyway. And courage musters faith to believe in God and trust in Him. Do you have courage? Do you need courage? Do you need strength of heart today? That's why we're going to be on this series. You see, our adversary, the devil, comes to dishearten. How many of you bumped into the invisible foe and become discouraged? Here's the kind of thing. He says, living for Jesus is too hard. Anybody heard that one? Am I the only one? It's when you're trying to live for Jesus in the power of your own strength instead of relying on God's strength within you. He comes along and says that stuff, but just go ahead and say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go ahead. I can.
All things through Christ who strengthens me.
The devil says the odds are against you and you should give up. He wants to lure you back into sin. He wants you to have any God but Jesus. And the Bible, though, says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has quickened us and made us alive. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And everybody say that little line under there, according to the power that works in us. Look at somebody and say, now that's the sheer power of God's grace. It's a mighty work. It's a dynamism. Hey, look, when you really, really, really spent 20 years on a sin and it's pretty much your identity, and now you're going to leave that sin, and it takes courage to that sin not become your identity, but your love and your relationship with Jesus, is that going to be hard? See? But there's a power that works in you. There's a power that works in you. And the Lord can actually change the very appetite of your soul and transform you on the inside. I know because I'm one that He's done it with. There are things that used to be so appealing to me, and they turn me off now because they hurt people. How many of you had joys and pleasures that hurt other people? An honest soul. How many of you have had hurts, have pleasures that actually hurt other people? The big deception of the day is, well, I ain't hurting anybody else. And the whole family's broken up and torn up and beat up because of the decisions that somebody makes. Here's another one. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. How are you going to do that? Well, the deal is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I want to tell you something. You ready? The Bible wouldn't say put to death the deeds of the flesh if they weren't alive. Hey, over here, the Bible wouldn't tell you to reckon yourself dead if it was already, reckon your flesh dead if it was already dead. It's the funniest thing because human beings, when they come to Jesus, all of creation, the birds, horses, everything has one nature. But when you become a believer in Jesus, you have two. You have two natures. You have a new nature. And inside of your spirit, you now have the big $20 theological word is you're justified in God's presence. He's removed your sins and put His Spirit in your spirit. And your spirit becomes the house for the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that your mind is healed.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that your soul is all cleansed from its past mistakes. It doesn't mean that your emotions are better yet. How many of you have made some good decisions walking with Jesus and gotten away from doing things you used to do? How many of you know that if you quit walking with the Lord, it can come back? Are you there? Everybody say, courage to conquer. It takes courage to walk with Jesus and courage to conquer those things that would conquer you. How many of you have been conquered by stuff? And now it's the shoes on the other foot, and you realize I'm walking with Jesus. Here's a key way it goes about it. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul's, almost like there's so many wonderful things he says, but this one really sums it up. If you've never memorized this verse, it's Galatians 2:20. I highly recommend you getting this one in your heart. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's the great exchange. You can't come to God and offer anything of value except your desire to be His. Your good looks won't get you into heaven. And you might have good looks. Your wit, you might be really smart. And your wits won't. Your money won't do it. Do you know what God asks you for to get into heaven? Are you ready? Sin. You give me the sin, and I'll give you my righteousness. You give me your trouble, and I'll give you my peace. You give me your heartache and your rejection, and I'll give you my love and wholeness. You give me what ails you, and I'll give you what cures you. You give me all that's the wounded in you, and I'll give you resurrection power to walk above that so that you can help others with the very thing that was a struggle to you. You'll become a fountain of resource to help other people if you'll just give me what you are. How many of you had some childish emotions and you're older now and you shouldn't? And you have to bring that to the Lord and say, how come I react like that, like I'm a little kid? And the Lord says, bring that to me, little selfish boy you. Don't raise your hand. Courage, everybody say courage.
Courage.
Courage to conquer.
Courage.
We're going to come upon communion here in a little bit. Go ahead and put up a Hebrews 11:6. Everybody read this aloud. Just declare it. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. God is a rewarder. Jesus has this message to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and they represent the church today. And most deal with a need to conquer some sin in their life through Christ's power. And I want us just to take a little peek at these, and as we come upon communion, I want us to look at these. So before we do, let's just lift our heads. Would you lift our heads and say, Father God, I just ask, no, I'll pray for you. Father God, we just ask that there would come now a work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that I witness to the tender mercies that you are pouring forth today. We come in agreement with that almost like a warm oil anointing to come and bring calm and to settle the heart in the depth of who you are. You are our strength. Lord, courage is not about jumping up and down. It's about having a settled sense inside that you know who you are and where you're going. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for your grace. We praise you for... We want to partner with you today. Oh, wow. Well, listen, there may be some rips and tears, some things that just hassled you. I want to say today, I just finished reading an article yesterday, the day before, about the young generation that we have, and one of the main things, this year, the suicides went above the homicides. And it's not drugs, and it's not alcohol. You're going to be, it's almost silly, but the addiction is the phone. And the sense of isolation, that it, the appearance of having community, and it doesn't exist. And depression comes strong. And the adversary isolates. And it looks like we're a part of something, but we're really not. And there's this spirit of depression and suicide that comes because there's no true human connection where you just come in and embrace by people and love by people. Yeah. It's so easy for hell to take people out. You need courage to come out from that and conquer. I was talking to somebody on the street the other day, and he says, I'm getting better. And the guy opened up his mouth and says, I've changed some friendships. You know, your friends determine your future. If you got friends heading in another direction, they'll influence you in a bad direction. The Bible actually has this funny little statement. It says, bad company corrupts morals. And your friends will determine so much. And sometimes when you come to the Lord says, I need you to change who you're hanging out with here. How many of you know that? It's a reality, isn't it? They'll take you somewhere and you don't want to be there and you're there anyway. Because it takes courage to come out from that. It takes courage to assess. This is, I've been doing this too long with these people and I'm not going anywhere right. I need to assess that and be with people that are heading in the right direction. So, let's just go take a quick little... Now, here's what I do have. Don't put them up yet. I'll go ahead and read the first part and then you put it up. This is the first church in the book of Revelation. Jesus is speaking to seven churches. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to give you the little synopsis and the little reward, okay? And it's this. He's saying basically to them, I approve of your good deeds and your hard work. You're patient and you cannot stand evil. You condemn those who do wrong and you hold false teachings to the fire. He says, I'm really proud of you, but this is what's happened to you. You've left your first love. Ephesians is, the church of Ephesus is about people doing the right thing, but their hearts aren't close to Jesus anymore. And so he says, I want to give you a chance to repent and go back to loving me the way you used to. And this is the promise. Revelation 2, 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who, everybody say, conquers. I grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He's just basically saying, we're going to have something to eat together, and I've set a date in the future if you just come back into relationship with me. Isn't that good? And if your heart has gone astray, we're having communion in a few moments. And I want you to know that there can come a reconnection through the Lord removing whatever has sent your heart astray. The church in Smyrna, he says, this is what I approve of. I know your works and tribulation. He says, and you know what? You got nothing to fix. Isn't that amazing? He says, but here's what's going on. He says, don't fear the suffering that you're going to go through. Satan will torment you and you'll be tried, but be faithful until death and you'll have the crown of life. And here's the promise. He who has an ear, let him hear. Revelation 2, 11. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Now, this may be a big theological thing, but here's the deal. We're going to die physically, but I'm not going to die spiritually because I've been made alive in Jesus Christ. There is a second death. And the people who don't have a relationship with Jesus and not been made alive spiritually will end up going through the second death and they'll be separated from God. It's not that you die and you're non-existent anymore. It's that you're just out of fellowship with Him forever. And that's a tormenting place to be. Church in Pergamon, approval is, you live where Satan lives, yet you have never renounced me. And he says, I have a few things against you. Your teachings pollute your people, both spiritually and socially, with unacceptable practices, like practicing sexual immorality. He says, repent, and I'll come unto thee quickly, and I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And this is the challenge for giving that up. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear. The Spirit says, the churches, the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Could you imagine coming before Jesus because you've gotten rid of stuff in your life, and he just has this moment with you, and he has a special name for who you are, what your life meant to him. Is that powerful or what? Does that intrigue you? Would you like that? Let me go ahead and say, the world and all the system of the world is under the influence of our adversary, the devil. And it is headed in another direction away from heaven. And if you make up your mind and you're going to walk the Lord's way, there's going to come challenges and things, right? But let me just go ahead and tell you, it's worth it all. It's worth every bit of it. It's worth it. Fist bump, Heather. It's worth it. Fist bump, Tony. It's worth it. Go ahead, fist bump. It's worth it. Tell somebody, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Walking with Jesus is worth it. It's worth it. Go ahead, fist bump our friend here. It's worth it. The church in Thyatira, this one scares me. Approval says, I know your deeds, your love, your charity, your faith, your service. You're doing more things than you've ever done. But while on the outside you appear as a model church, you are rife with corruption and corrupt teachings with deep within. Listen to this. It says, you've committed adultery with me, with your pagan worship. Now here's the actual verses. I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, as a teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of their works. And I will strike their children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and the heart, and I will give each according to your works. He says, repent now. The answer is repent now. This is the promise of what he gives in 2:26. The one who conquers and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Wow. Wow. In other words, don't be involved with the sexual promiscuity of the culture. Don't do it. And this is the reward for that. This is phenomenal. Authority over the nations? I'm going to find out when I get there. By the way, the Bible is an unusual book in that all you got to do, you never give your own interpretation. You just read another passage that talks about the same thing and the Bible interprets itself. You just keep in it. So I'm almost done here. The church at Sardis. Oh man, this is something. It says, I know your deeds, your name carries recognition of men. Here's the condemnation. You're dead. A dead church. Have you ever been to one? This is what it's like to go to a dead church. It feels like a funeral service. There's music. Somebody's dead. Something's dead. It's dead. It says, remember your beginnings, return to them, repent, and pay attention to my word. You need to wake up. So he says, the dead church, he says, wake up. Here's the passage, Revelation 3:5. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In other words, you wake up, and I'll confess you before. You come out of the deadness. Sometimes deadness happens in people, and God has answers for that. Church in Philadelphia, quickly, approval, you may not be the biggest group, but I know your works and your teaching, even without strength or power, you kept my word and not compromised my name. Here's the condemnation, nothing. I don't condemn anything. This is wonderful. This is a beautiful group of people. There are a little group there. It says, I just want you to know I'm coming quickly and hold on to what you have. And here's the promise in Revelation 3:12. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write him on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Coming out of death into life, the Lord says, I'm going to establish you, and you're mine, and you'll be a pillar. Let's just praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I used to be a caterpillar. I'd crawl in the church and crawl out. But you can go through a change, and you can be moved from being a caterpillar to becoming a pillar. I heard what Charles Stanley say years ago, there's two kinds of people come to church. There's the people that hold it up, hold the place up like a pillar, and there's the people crawling in and out every week. And the goal is to cause the people who crawl in and out every week to be transformed into pillars. Is that right? There's some folks that they can only walk with the Lord as long as there's mamas around telling them how to live. The moment the support thing is gone, they don't have character in themselves. The Lord wants you to have character in yourself. When nobody's around, you walk right. You've made choices. You can live your life unto God. In the last church, Laodicea, there's no approval at all. None. And here's the condemnation. You're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either hot or cold. But there's nothing here, and there's no redeeming qualities, so I spit you out of my mouth into the tribulation so that, you know, everything you say about yourself is no good thing. In other words, these people are not hot, they're not cold, they're just worth spitting out. Could you imagine? There's nothing good redeeming. So these are the seven churches. This is the last one. They have conquered. Let's go ahead to Revelation 12:11. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. They have conquered the adversary. They've conquered sin's power. They've conquered by the blood of the Lamb. There's four things. Just say this: the blood of the Lamb, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of thanksgiving. Those are a quick little recap of the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare. Hell will come to you and say, you've really messed up. And you know what Jesus said? Agree with your adversary on the way to court. Just go ahead and serve, and all are served. Hold it until everybody's served. Agree with your adversary on the way to court. So the devil says, you really messed up. And you know what I say? You're absolutely right. I agree. Because my standing in front of you is not based on self-righteousness. Did you hear that? My standing in front of you, devil, is not based on how good I've been. It's never based on that. It's based on who Jesus Christ is. It's not based on me. It's based on him. I don't have anything except he's given it to me. I have nothing except the Lord's given it. Isn't that wonderful? So get you off the hook. There's this verse, I don't think I put it up there, but I'll just, it says Revelation 21:8. This is an amazing verse. As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. It's amazing to me that he talks about those who conquer, here's the promise. Those who conquer, here's the promise. Those who conquer. And your strength of your courage doesn't even come from you. It comes from the one who had the courage to die for you. The courage comes from another source. It comes from the one who laid down his life and rose again. Peter was a mess. He denied Jesus. He denied him three times. I wonder what it would be like if that same little servant girl who said, hey, you're one of Jesus' disciples, if she was on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up full of courage because of the Holy Spirit. And as he preached, he says, in the last days, the Bible says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and daughters will prophesy. I wonder if that same servant girl was in the crowd and gave her life to Jesus that day. What happened to him? I want that to happen to me. Yeah. I was one way, but Jesus made a change in me and I'm a different way now. And there's hope that comes forth because of the change of what Jesus has done. Look, there are going to be people when you start walking out of what you've been walking in and you start walking out of it. There's some people like a bucket full of crabs. You know, when you start to climb out, they grab you and they pull you back in. I don't want to be around those people. I want to be like those people on the SEAL team that when you come to the wall, everybody helps each other get over it. Let's go ahead and be on the SEAL team. Let's help each other get over the wall. Help each other get over the obstacles. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Are you there? By the way, I'm going to just say this really, really quick. This is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ. And it's all wrapped around an invitation that Jesus gave to the disciples. And then he said this. He said, now, from now on, I want you all to do this in remembrance of who I am and what I've done. Now, this is meaningless unless you know Jesus. It's meaningless. It has no meaning at all. But if you know him or you want to know him, this is the way to step into relationship with him. When you receive this, you receive Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, just like that, the Lord flashed this across the screen of my mind. He said, and every brokenness of your soul, when I come in, I will begin healing it. Every place that you have been wounded and hurt and left for naught, when I come in, I go to that place to restore you to wholeness. You will learn my ways. You will learn that I'm the big forgiver, and you'll learn to forgive. You'll learn that I'm the big repenter that helps people repent, and you'll learn to turn from those things. Man, it's good to be in here, isn't it? Let's pray together. Say, Father God, I bring my brokenness before you, and I ask for your wholeness in my life. I repent for the things that I have done that have damaged my life, that have sent me away from you. It is my will to be close to you. May your cleansing power, may your healing virtue come to my heart and life now. I receive you as Redeemer, Healer, Savior, in the name of Jesus. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You who may be one of those people that feel like something happened to you a long time ago and nobody ever apologized for the damage that occurred. Maybe somebody touched you inappropriately and they never said, I'm sorry, and there's this sense of stain in your life. Sense of something just happened to me and it's not right. What's wonderful about the Lord is He sees us in totality. He sees everything about us. He knows every day you lived. He knows what happened every day. He's very caring and very loving. His tender mercies are just, they never end. They never end. They never end. I think that's one reason I love the Lord so much. It's because I had no idea how messed up I was when I came to Him. I had no idea how broken a person I was. I had no idea how much rejection I had, how much abuse I had, how many hurts had been happened, how many things I'd done wrong, how many things had happened to me. I had no idea. It was damaged goods. And because of walking with Jesus over these last 40 years, I'm not damaged goods anymore. I'm a happy camper. I'm going to go all the way to heaven with Him. I'm going to sit at the table with Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'm going to know the Lord eye to eye. I'm going to experience hearing Him talk to me in person. I'm looking forward to knowing the Lord face to face. The light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. The employment of heaven is the service of Jesus. The fullness of heaven is Jesus Himself. And the duration of heaven is the eternity of Jesus. Let's say it's all about Jesus. And He washes away everything that does not fit with Him. He washes it all away. Do you need a good washing today? Let's lift a cup. Now, just in this moment, I want to ask the Holy Spirit, have you been dead? Have you been amiss? Have you been, according to the seven churches, you need to rekindle your first love? You need to step away from any kind of an immorality? Do you need to come alive or stand, to be strengthened to stand in some days of conflict, we come before the Lord right now to receive His help. And the Lord would put His presence about you. The Lord would put His protection about you. the Lord would shield you with Himself and cause you to have the strength that you need and the help that you need. And so, Lord, as we partake of the blood, we thank You for the forgiveness of sins and the power to forgive others. In the name of Jesus, let's go ahead and do it. I want you to, just one last thought here. I want you to be filled with an assurance these days. Everything that the Lord did was to establish assurance that He's with us. This last week, I asked the Lord, I was just praying in the Spirit, just drawing my heart to Him, and the Lord said these words. He said, I'm with you. I didn't realize I needed to hear that. I didn't feel that close. You know what I mean? Because you have times like that. And I just begin to chew on that. And the Lord says He's with you. He says, when the waters want to overtake you, He says, I'll be with you. The fire won't burn you up because I'll be with you. When there's a massive amount of persecution or things, afflictions or all kinds of, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'm your strength. And today, I would just want to ask that the courage to conquer as we step into this month begin to grow in our hearts. Begin to grow in our hearts. Let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah. Father God, we give You praise. Let's go ahead and praise Him. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You for the cleansing power of the blood. Thank You for the overthrowing of all those things that would be wicked against us. Thank You, Lord, for refreshing, for unyoking us from things that would push us down, for lifting depression off of us in Jesus' name. Thank You for Your healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if there's any fears that you're dealing with, just come up and receive ministry. We're going to dismiss now. We have fellowship over on the other side. God bless.